Well, greetings to all of you, my brethren. Those who could not assemble with us today, we greet you. Greetings to any visitors here with us and to those listening in on our website. I greet all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, my wife and I trust all of you enjoyed a spiritual, profitable Feast of Tabernacles, and of course, last Great Day observance. I'm sure you all did. That's what we do at the feast, enjoy ourselves. We also, let me get this stuff here right here. We observed our feast at the Pigeon Forge feast site in Tennessee. What a beautiful feast site. It's traveling there. It's exciting. Mountains just come out at you. The weather was mixed with sun and rain. Nevertheless, we enjoyed the messages, the fellowship, and, of course, the good food. Plenty of good food is there all over the place. Brethren, in our 37 years attending the Feast of Tabernacles, I cannot recall the death of a brother while observing the Feast of Tabernacles. 37 years, I cannot recall someone dying at the feast, attending the feast. Unlike my past experience this year, two announcements was made of the demise of brethren attending the Feast of Tabernacles at Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Very sad, almost unbelievable. It was said, I don't know whether it happened or not, it's said there was an announcement made at the feast site in Alabama of a minister's death. Did that happen? Was anybody there, Alabama? It did happen. So there's a third individual. Another individual went to the hospital to check out some unusual feelings in his chest area, I think it was. And it proved later that he had terminal cancer and given only a week or so to live. Never in my years have I heard of such going on during the feast. I've heard of people who had to go back home because of death, but people there attending the feast lost their lives or they died. Brethren, I'm sure those announcements sadden us all. We were there to rejoice before the Lord, and these announcements, I'm sure, dampen our feast, at least for a little while, and we were able to get back to the purpose for which we were attending the feast. Even as I prepared this message, I am reminded of an illustration made by Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse 39 and 40. Go there, please. Luke chapter 12, verses 39 through 40 verses. These words, brethren, was written for our learning. Verse 39 says this, "But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into, if he had only known the hour or the time that the thief would show up." Goes on to say, "Therefore you also," be ready, For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We would like to think that we will be alive when Jesus Christ comes. I think Mr. Armstrong thought that. Some of the apostles thought that. And words they said in their inspired messages, they seem to have had the idea that possibly we will be alive when Jesus Christ comes. Some of us may think that, and some of us may well be alive when Jesus Christ comes. But those who, like those who died at the Feast of Tabernacles at Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, Jesus Christ came for them at the feast. Their lives ended there. There was nothing to add to their record, nor anything to take away. As we know, in the grave there is no praising God, there is no repentance. It is the end of the road, brethren. If we had known the hour of the thief, we would have prepared. We don't know the hour of our demise or the return of Jesus Christ, do we, brethren? So it is crucial. It is crucial that we stay in a state of readiness. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Constant readiness, brethren. That's what we need to be in. Stay in that constant readiness. It's crucial that we do so. Here the eternal God inspired the Apostle Peter to write these words to his beloved family. Allow me to paraphrase verses 1 through 11. Brethren, we have been given precious faith by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Given to us, did not earn it, it was given to us by his righteousness, not ours. It is through him grace and peace are multiplied to us concerning the knowledge of the eternal God our Father and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. This knowledge, brethren, came as a result of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The world just does not know God. And most of this world practice a form of godliness, but deny that there is any power in that worship that they observe. We know the eternal God because we keep his commandments. He says, if any man says he know me and do not keep my commandments, he is lying. He or she is lying. Cannot know God unless we are in tune and keeping his commandments. So it is through grace and peace. It is through him grace and peace are multiplied to us, again, concerning the knowledge of the eternal God our Father and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. It is through his divine power that he has given us all things that pertain to life and holiness. His divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and holiness, holy living. I have said before, we're the most blessed people on the face of this planet Earth. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, that's who we are. We're blessed people, call out of this world, one by one, individually, and brought into a collective church, given the assignment to preach the gospel unto all nations. And we've been privileged to be a part of that work, brethren. Tithes and offerings supporting that work, prayers most of all, supporting that work. We are very unique, special people, called to do a special work. It is through, again, his divine power, he has given us all things pertaining to life and holiness. Therefore, he has called each of us by his glory and virtue and has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises he's given to us, brethren. And we rely on those promises. We embrace them. We hold dear to those promises that he has made. The Bible is full of promises. And they're made to us. Those who have passed on, they receive those promises. And we are given those promises today. Again, these promises are exceedingly great and precious promises, brethren. Promises which are sure to enable you and I to take part of his divine nature. We don't know how he shall appear, but when he shall appear, we shall be. But when he appear, we shall be as he is. I'm trying to get it together up here. Words getting all tied up, but we're going to get this together. Go with this sermon. We'll have us to go. We don't know how he shall appear. We know he's coming. That's our faith. That's what we cling to. That's why we're assembled here today, to worship the great God who has promised us that he's coming back to this earth and receive you and I, brethren, unto himself. And we're going to be with him. I find myself saying this quite often, stirring up our faith, embracing these promises that he has made. Again, promises which are sure to enable you and I to take part of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is presently in this world through the power of lust. Corruption generated through the power of lust. That's what's in this world. People wanting what belongs to somebody else. Want to play the lottery and put a dollar down and win $1 million. That's what this world is about. Lusty. After something that they did not work for and do not wish to work for in most cases. Goes on to say, also for this reason, we have been given all diligence in order that we may add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, brethren. We've got love to give. It will never run out. We can love those who hate us. You can take it up, turn it off if you want to. We can get up in the air here. Thank you, Mr. Bruton. We have been given all diligence, in order that we may add to our faith. I'm going to go over this again. It's too important not to receive it. In order that we may add faith to virtue. Virtue to knowledge. Knowledge to self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly love, and to brotherly love, kindness. Brethren, if we are not forgetful of these things, but receive them and allow them to abound in us, allow them to abound in us. We have a choice. No one's going to make us allow these virtues and brotherly kindness and self-control to abound in us. It's something that we have to want to do and work at doing it, resisting this world and its evils and its distractions. That's how we're going to allow these characteristics to abound in us. If we succeed, brethren, in allowing these characteristics to abound in us, we will never, never become barren. Always have fruit to share. Always. We will never be barren. We will never be unfruitful in the knowledge and will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll be bearing fruit, brethren. However, if these things do not abound in us, we will become short-sighted, which is sure to lead to blindness and will cause you and I to forget we were cleansed from our sins through his shed blood. Brethren, we have got to make our calling and election sure. We're going to talk about that a little later in the sermon. Therefore, brethren, God will hold each of us responsible to be diligent, work hard to make our calling and election sure. Synonyms for the word diligent is to be hardworking. That's what our calling is about. Hardworking, attentiveness, and being careful, brethren, as to how we go about life. To be careful. There's all kinds of distractions out here in this world. And as I've said before, Satan is walking while we're talking. While we're observing the Sabbath, he's looking for us, brethren, to distract us from our calling. There's so much out there. Knowledge have increased as God said it would. Many are going to and fro. But he says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They don't have spiritual knowledge. We can do a lot of things. Man can. If he can think it, he can almost do it. We're talking about going to Mars now. Been to the moon, and probably will go there. Perhaps not in my lifetime, but probably will go to Mars. Plant a man's foot on the planet Mars. Brethren, the Feast of Tabernacle and Last Great Day observance is over. As we look forward toward the Passover season, we must be determined. We must be determined to make our calling and election sure, which is the title of my message. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Let's begin reading at verse 30. Ezekiel, chapter 33, let's begin reading at verse 30. Here Ezekiel was inspired to write these words for our learning brethren. He says this, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, peace, please come, rather, and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as a people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they speak much, show much love, but with their hearts they pursue their own gain, lust, greed, selfishness. He goes on to say, indeed you are to them as a very loving song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they will not do them. Brethren, that cannot pertain to us. God inspired Ezekiel to write these words, but they cannot pertain to us. Brethren, we must not be hearers only, but doers of the word, as recorded in the book of James, in order that we may make our calling, election sure, and election sure, and never stumble or fall away. Go with me to the book of James, chapter 1. Let's begin reading at verse 22. James, chapter 1, verse 22. Just reviewing some scriptures and understanding that you already have, just doing a review, you could say. Here James says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We hear the word and don't do it. We're just playing a game. We're playing church. We're deceiving ourselves. It's not going to take us anywhere. So James says, don't deceive yourself, ourselves, but be doers of the word. He goes on to say, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he is. Immediately forget what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Doer of the work. A work has to be done, brethren. Jesus Christ says, when this gospel is completed and has been preached to all nations, the end of this world is going to come. There is a work to be done. And all of us are responsible to join in on that work and be about our Father's business in so doing. Brethren, this individual who does not forget to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is to keep God's commandments and continue in them, and is not forgetful but practice and grow in his love, for his neighbor, for the eternal God and his neighbor, this individual's calling and election will be sure. We have to pray, brethren. We have to pray. I mean daily, all through the day. This world is not easy to live in and maintain a relationship with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. It's just not. It's hard. And we're told to press toward the mark, indicating that it's hard, not easy. Everything easy is gone, and anything pretending to be easy is not worth anything. And we have got to respond to our calling and make it sure by being a doer of this work, not just hearing it. We can't be like those people in Ezekiel who come and hear his words, but will not do them. They love to hear the words of God. They love to hear good messages, but are not in tune with doing what they hear. And that's for all of us. We have got to be doers. We've got to be. We're few in number. The harvest is plentiful. Few laborers to work in that harvest. And that's us, brethren. We're few in number. We've got a worldwide work to do. So we have got to work at it, be diligent about our calling. The person who does not forget to look into the perfect law of liberty, his calling and election will be sure and be a doer of what he read there. Again, if we do these things, then only, then will we be given a right of entry into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'd like to propose a very important question for all of us to consider as I proceed with my message. My question is, are we the people of God making our calling and election sure? Or are we deceiving ourselves? It's one or the other, brethren. Which is it? Are we daily making our calling and election sure, or are we deceiving ourselves? We've got to add on to what we have been doing in the past, brethren. We need to add on to our prayers. We need to add on in the way of our fellowship. We need to add on in our concern for those who are sick and those who are going through various trials. We need to add on to our singing and giving praise to God. Lift up our voices and sing praise to the great God, our Father in heaven. Are we, then, brethren, making our calling and election sure, and so much more? Our eyes upon the Lord continually set, we must stay focused on God and his way of life that he's given to us. It's a great price paid for, brethren, for our being here today. The Father gave his only begotten Son, and his Son went about the Father's work and said, "It is finished," on the cross. It was not finished until his last breath or so was taken. Great price was paid for our being here. And we must respond to that with diligence, determination, that we have come from the feast now, and we are going to extend ourselves further into the calling and work that God has so gracefully given to us. The Bible is replete with inspiring examples and instructions that is encouraging and is written for our learning, brethren, to help you and I make our calling and election sure. I keep saying that because that's what it's about. That's what our calling is about. We placed into the body of Jesus Christ, and we expect it to work, brethren, to be diligent in this calling we've been given. Let's begin with two individuals who were made king over God's people. These were men who started out walking with God. He was their vision. They were in agreement with him. As king, they sought to turn the people of Israel and Judah back to the eternal God. However, in time, these kings walked according to their own vision. They turned from the vision and expectation that God had of them and decided to go their own way. They did what seemed right in their own eyes. Let's begin in the Old Testament with Solomon. King Solomon, who started out making his calling and election sure. He walked with God and saw through the eyes of God and basically did what was pleasing in the sight of God. Let's read the account, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. Here Solomon referred to himself as a little child when he ascended to his father's throne. In verse 7, he says these humbling words, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go in or come out." In verse 9, he asked God for an understanding heart to govern his people. What an excellent example of humility. However, in time, Solomon began to see through his own eyes. In chapter 11 and verse 1, Solomon's heart turned from the Lord. He became distracted by many women and other things. Brethren, Solomon was distracted by women and other things. There are distractions that are with us today, brethren. They're everywhere to be found and can cause us to become short-sighted, leading to blindness. That's what it leads to. These are sinful weights we must lay aside as each of us run our race set before us. We've got a race to run. There's only so much time to run it in. And we've got to be diligent in running that race, brethren. And we cannot run it carrying a lot of weights, allowing a lot of distractions to enter into our lives. We got to stay our minds on the Lord, asking him for strength and wisdom, confessing our sins and expecting and knowing that he's going to forgive us of those. Sins are weights that we cannot carry and run this race successfully, brethren. These weights must be laid aside if we're going to run the race set before us successfully. This short story about Solomon consists of both good and evil and offer valuable lessons for you and I as we make our calling and election sure. The man started out with God. He saw through the eyes of God. God was his vision, as he must be ours. Brethren, we must pray daily, asking God to remain our vision, asking him to be our vision, and to remain our vision until the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, which is soon to come. This day is coming, brethren, and it's probably coming like a thief in the night. I'm thinking of the virgins, 10 of them, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Those who was wise made their calling and election sure. They were diligent in their calling. The foolish waste time, probably thought tomorrow will be sufficient. I've got too much to do today, I'll do it tomorrow. They heard the sound of the bridegroom coming, and they lit their lanterns to meet him. We know the story. The foolish ran out of oil, wanted to borrow some from those who had oil. And they said, "Not so. We only have enough to make it in ourselves. We don't have any to loan." They were all virgins, but 5 of them was foolish. And we cannot emulate the foolish, brethren. We've got to partake with the wise, those who kept their lanterns full of oil and was waiting and ready when the bridegroom came. They were ready to meet him. The foolish went looking for oil. When they returned, the door was slammed. Noah preached 120 years. He told people to repent. He told them that the day was coming when God was going to send a flood on a wicked nation. They were foolish people. They continued their own way. They saw things through their own eyes. God was not their vision, brethren. And the day came, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it continued to rain. Finally, they became aware that, hey, we need to get into this ark. But God closed the door, not Noah. God closed the door. The time was up. They wasted time, brethren. We cannot waste time. We don't know what time the thief is coming. We got to keep vigilant in our calling. God likened the thief unto that of Jesus Christ's return. We don't know, do we, brethren? Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, and we will meet our Lord and Savior in the clouds of the air. At last, he's coming. Will we have oil in our lamps, brethren? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Will we have it? Will it be working in us? Will we be diligent? Will we be found doing the work of God, praying for one another, caring for one another? Will we be studying our Bibles, living by every word that proceeds from his mouth? Will we be asking God to forgive us of the sins that we committed yesterday and today? And even those sins that we're not aware of, will we be doing these things, brother, when Jesus Christ returns? Or will we be like the foolish virgins who laid aside today for tomorrow, thinking we've got time? I'm a virgin like the other virgins are. I'll get my lamp filled tomorrow. Brethren, we can't be like those foolish virgins. They lost out. They were foolish. They did not make their calling and election sure, brethren. Let's review another example of both good and evil. Hezekiah started to walk with God. He saw through the eyes of God for a time, but did not continue to walk with God. Therefore, his calling and election to be king over Israel was taken away. Go with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18, and allow me to paraphrase this account beginning at verse 2. 2 Kings, chapter 18. Beginning at verse 2, Hezekiah became king and began his reign at age 25. His name meant the Lord has strengthened. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down wooden images. The man was making his calling and election sure. Cut down the wooden images, and due to a wrong use of the people, he broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. It was made for a different reason than how these people was using this bronze serpent. And he broke this serpent that Moses had made into pieces. At this time, the man Hezekiah walked with God because God was his vision. He saw evil and sought to destroy it. King Hezekiah was able to do incredible things because God was his God. The eternal God was his God and gave him the ability to do awesome things, incredible things. In chapter 18 and verse 5, we read these words. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. In chapter 20, Hezekiah lost the vision given to him by God. He became short-sighted, which caused him to become blind to God's ways. The man began to boast of what he had done, showing visitors, look at all of this that I've accomplished, showing them the place, the storage places that was filled with gold, valuables, and he credited it to himself. God was not pleased with Hezekiah. Hezekiah was not at this time making his calling and election sure through allowing God to be his vision. Just as Peter has warned you and I, brethren, that unless we make our calling and election sure, you and I, like Solomon and Hezekiah, will become short-sighted, which is sure to lead to blindness. I want so much that all of us make our calling and election sure, brethren. Something that we all pray about, I'm sure, because our calling is real. And God expects us to treat it with the highest of respect. We're not assembled here as a social club. We're assembled here as a people of God to embrace one another, to share those things that we're going through, pray for one another. Cannot afford to play church, brethren. Calling is real and serious. And we have got to be diligent, which requires hard work. We've got to make our calling and election sure, brethren. We've got to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. He's coming. We don't know what time he's coming, but he is coming. Sometimes we think about prophecies. This has to happen. That has to happen. The Bible says prophecies can fail. Don't have to go by the strip we read in the Bible. This has to happen. The other thing has to happen to Israel. That has to happen here or there. These things can fail. You know, I wished our nation was like the nation of Nineveh. Jonah went down and preached to these people, and they repented. What a wonderful thing. I wish that could happen to our nation. I love this country. I do. It certainly has been good to me and my family. And the poorest of people in this country do well in comparison to people in third world countries. We're very generous people. But we are being destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. We don't have knowledge of God, brethren, and his purpose for our existence. We don't understand why we were made in his image and likeness. Thank God he has a remedy for that. These people's blindness is going to be cured. They're going to see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they're going to perceive with their hearts. And God is going to heal their blindness, their deafness. He's going to heal their hearts, brethren, and give them a pure heart. And we're going to be there to help him to do that. If we make our calling and election sure, are we making our calling and election sure, brethren? Are we working on it right now? We can pray in private. In our own hearts and minds, we can pray. Person sitting next to us is not aware. It's a private place that we can enter in and pray, brethren. Be persistent in our prayers. Please pray for me because I want to make my calling and election sure. And I'm going to pray for you because I know you want to make your calling and election sure, brethren. And we're going to run this race. A race only consists of so much time. We only have so much time, brethren, to conclude this race. People are dying all over this world. Another young man shot to death. by the policeman. People are just dying, heart attacks, all over this world. And we've got to preach this gospel. We've got to be about God's business. We've got to let our light shine, brethren, so that men will see our good works. That's a form of preaching the gospel. That they will see our good works and glorify who? Glorify God, not us. Give him the glory and the praise. Again, we've got to be diligent in our calling and not allow the example of Solomon and Hezekiah become our example. Let's review a few examples to take to heart that will help you and I make our calling and election sure. I'm going to look at a few examples. Go with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 111, and let's begin reading at verse 59. Psalm, chapter 119, and let's begin reading at verse 59. It says, I gave thought on my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. It's a man in meditation. He wasn't thinking about somebody else's ways. He was thinking about his own ways. Obviously, he didn't like what he saw. He sought to make the change that he needed to make. This man wanted to please God. He wanted to have a fellowship and a relationship with God. So he thought on his ways. That's something we need to do. Think about how we go about life, how we go about our relationship with each other, with our neighbors, with our family. He didn't like what he saw, so he made haste and did not delay to keep God's commandments. Brethren, this man, David, has set you and I an extraordinary example. As did David, we must meditate on our ways and judge ourselves. That's what we have to do and need to do. Judge ourselves. Some of my ways I don't like. As I judge myself and meditate and give thought on my ways, I see ways in me that I do not like. I despise them. And I'm quick to ask God to help me to overcome these things that I know that is not in agreement with his word. It's not in agreement with the example Jesus Christ has set for us. I'm sure we can all meditate and look in ourselves and see things that we want to rid ourselves of, and we find it difficult to do. We pray and ask God, then we have to wait on God to help us to overcome these characteristics that is not like Jesus Christ at all. And we know we have got to overcome them, and we realize we need God's help. Carnality is still a part of our lives, brethren. We're not perfect. We have faults. We have sins. And God says if we confess our sins, God is just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess them, brethren, go before God and say, I have sinned, like David did. I want to make my calling and election sure. I have sinned. Father, forgive me of the sins I've committed, the thoughts that were not right that went on in my mind. And even those sins that I'm not aware of, Father, please forgive me of those as well. I want my lamp to be filled with oil when Jesus Christ comes. Father, I want to make my calling and election sure. I'm weak, but you're strong. take me, your son, by the hand and lead me on into your kingdom, Father. I'm struggling down here in this fleshly tabernacle. I need your help. I need your spirit. Increase your spirit in me. Help me to draw closer to you. That's where my calling is. And that's where my election is made sure. David said, I made haste. I got in a hurry. I didn't waste time to keep your commandments. Extraordinary example for you and I. So let us meditate on our ways and judge ourselves. Judge ourselves. Sometimes some of us specialize in judging other people. Focus need to be on you and I, brethren. We need to judge ourselves and be honest with what we see in our judgment of ourselves. It's a private matter. We don't have to share it with anybody but God and ask him to forgive us. And you know what? He will. He will. We're his children. He wants us to be in his kingdom. He knows that we're made from the dust of the ground. He knows our weaknesses, brethren. We don't need to hide them from him. He knows who we are. He knows who Alan Harris is. He knows my heart. And he knows those things that I battle with daily to overcome. He knows every one of them. He just wants me to acknowledge them. He just wants me to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Forgive me, please. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness that I might walk before you and honor you and glorify you, and that my light may shine the brighter so that my neighbors and friends and you and I, brethren, you, my brethren, see my light and I see your light and give God the glory for the light we see in each other. We must ask the Father to help us to make haste to keep his commandments as we draw closer to him. For only in him is our calling and election made sure. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul said this to you and I, brethren, says this to you and I. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. I'm not talking about walking up to it. I press, which requires work and effort. And sometimes in that work and effort, we fall down, don't we, brethren? But we got sense enough to know we need to get up and get back in line and continue this race and continue to press toward this mark, this perfection that God has called us to be a part of. In order to press toward the mark of a high calling will require you and I to separate ourselves from the ways of this world. Come out of this world, brethren. It will take our salvation. It will take our relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father away. Christianity is a way of life that is much different from the ways of this world. We can't commix the two. We can't make the two work, brethren. We've got to leave one in order to be diligent in observing the other. That's what we've been called into, a way of life that is much different from the ways of this world. So we must come out from among them, brethren, that is this world, and be separate, says the Lord. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read these words. You don't have to go there. put it down in your notes. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Sermon was given down in Pigeon Forge, and the minister said, one minister, I won't call his name, gave a sermon, and he said, it's not found in the Bible where the lamb and the lion is going to lay down together. The lion and the lamb is going to lay down together. Not there. I always thought it was there. And he mentioned some other things that certainly sound right, but they were not found in the Bible. I had to, you know, say, look, rightly dividing the word of God can be based on what we have heard. That's as far as we take it. We got to study the word of God. And we're told to prove all things, brethren, and hold fast to that which we prove to be right, which we prove to be right, not what we have heard, but what we have proved to be right. We can only do that through diligent study, being diligent in our study. Brethren, we should pray always, preceding Bible study, asking the eternal God to help us rightly divide his word, but also to become doers of his word. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this. Therefore also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin so easily snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross, brethren. Joy was set before him. A part of that joy is you and I being born into the kingdom of God. He's going to have siblings. And those siblings are going to be you and I. That was part of the joy. I'm sure his joy was a wide range of things that he was joyful about. But he focused on the positive things, and he got through the difficult things. And as we go through trials, brethren, we've got to focus on the positive things. The Lord is my shepherd. Focus on that. And it'll get us through the difficult times with joy and joy and joy remaining after we get over the trials that is set before us. He is the finisher of our faith. And because of the joy, or for the joy that was set before him, he endured the horrors of the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is today, sitting there waiting for the Father to give him permission to return to this earth. Brethren, in my message this morning, we have covered both good and evil examples. We must reject those that were proven to be evil, as we embrace those good examples given to us in order to make our calling and election sure. How many times have I said that, brethren? Don't let it pass through your mind. Let's be doers of making our calling and election sure. This we will do, brethren, if we apply the admonition the Apostle James gave us, recorded in the book of James, who says we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves.